Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. So we welcome on board our first guest of the week here. Rebecca Warren is back in our studio. We talked to her a few years ago when she was running for the state Supreme Court. Now she is a candidate for state Superior Court in Pennsylvania. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Good to be here, Mark.
Oh, I appreciate you coming in. You are a Republican. I think of you as a Montour County resident. Still true?
Not true any longer, although I lived there for, almost 3 decades, I believe. I recently relocated to Luzerne County, which is where I was originally from.
All right. Well, tell me, let's do a quick biographical sketch. Go ahead and start in Freeland, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. So I was born and raised in Freeland, went to MMI Preparatory School. From there, I went to Bloomsburg University to get my undergraduate degree. I received a scholarship to the Dickinson School of Law, so I went there to get my legal degree. And after that, I graduated and moved to Bloomsburg, where I started my legal career. Stayed in the Bloomsburg, Danville area for, as I said, almost 3 decades, and also traveled the state of Pennsylvania doing a lot of trial work. So I've been working for 27 years in the courtroom.
Wow, 27 years. Fabulous. Okay, so 3 years and judicial experience matters. You talk about that every chance you get.
Right, exactly. Our judges obviously impact our lives on a daily basis. Sometimes people, I don't think, tend to realize that, but we have seen a lot of court cases where judges have made decisions that have impacted everyone's lives. So I'm hoping people are paying attention to the race this year.
All right, and you have been a district attorney. You've been a defense attorney. Sort of give us your resume in slight greater detail, some more of the bullet points, please.
Okay. So as I indicated, when I first graduated from law school, I was doing trial work across the entire state of Pennsylvania. So I got to see a lot of the county courts in operation. I then joined the district attorney's office in Columbia County on a 3-year grant position. I was an assistant DA there, and I was the person who authored the very first child abuse protocol, which was designed to minimize trauma to child victims. When I was elected district attorney, I also was very passionate about having a robust victim rights program, and I created a multidisciplinary investigative team, which again was to minimize trauma to child victims. I worked with the Temple Institute of Protective Services to protect our elderly from financial and physical abuse and crimes that were associated with those. And I also made sure that we had a drug court that was put into place along with a team of other people in the courthouse so that we could assist drug addicts who had found themselves involved in the criminal justice system. So in addition to serving their sentence, they were also receiving rehabilitation.
Well, you talk about judicial restraint. So I'm going to tie that restraint to your conversations about victims in a moment. But let's get the definition of when you're talking about judicial restraint, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about a judge who does not legislate from the bench. Someone who is going to follow the rule of law and the Constitution and apply it to the facts of each case. Because really, that's what judges are elected to do. If you want someone who's going to change the law or create new law, you should be looking to your legislators for that, not a judge.
Do not all judges say that, that they'll adhere to the Constitution?
I don't know if all of them say it. Probably a good number of candidates do. I mean it when I say it, because I have seen firsthand judges who don't follow the law or apply the law. What they're doing is creating law from the bench. So, for example, I was recently involved in the gerrymandering case. I was representing Republican voters, and we saw a Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which just totally disregarded not only the law, but also the Constitution, and redrew the map on their own.
Were you conflicted at all on that? Because you talk about victims and people's rights and making sure that the courts are helping people, you know, not just a place to go to a courtroom, hear the gavel, and hear a verdict, but where the courtroom or the court's abilities can help the victims and other things. And that's a classic case where the court helped I'm just going to say half of Pennsylvanians who needed greater voice. I don't know what the real percentage is.
Well, I don't see it as a conflict because we have a constitution in Pennsylvania that specifically provides that the legislature is supposed to draw the map. And I think the sad reality is that when a political party is in power, they draw the map when it's their chance so that it favors perhaps their party. The Democrats have done it. The Republicans have done it. But if someone is not happy with the map, and I should stress that this map that was challenged had already been in effect for over 7 years. And we were very close to the end of that map's existence since it's changed when the census occurs. So we were just asking for fairness. And on behalf of the Republican voters, we weren't defending the map per se as much as saying this has been the map for the last 7 years, 7 elections, and what we need to do is ensure that it's not changed until after this impending congressional race.
Is that a signature argument on your resume that really speaks to your ideals and so on?
Not necessarily. As an attorney, you have to represent a lot of different people, and you may not necessarily agree with their position, but if it's something that is in accordance with the law and they have the right to pursue that, you may be arguing or advocating issues or ideas that aren't necessarily your own. But that's the beauty of our justice system. People are entitled to attorneys. They're allowed to have representation in court, and we can express all different types of viewpoints within the bounds of the law.
And you've talked about this judicial restraint, so that's how the courts really don't overstep at all.
Right.
But at the same time, the courts can be of assistance. When you were DA, some of the intricacies that you helped to impose that relate to children and child victims and so on, the court can't itself be a tool to help people, even though in the courtroom there's a relatively narrow set of actions. Elaborate on this idea that the court can help people.
Right. Well, obviously, there are a lot of people who work in the court system, from the row offices to the district attorneys, public defenders, the judges, and everybody has their own specific role. And I think at the end of the day, the reason the court system was created in the first place was to ensure that people are going to be upstanding or good citizens, shall we say, and that other people's rights are protected. So we're looking at the health, safety, and welfare of the community, and I think that the courts play a very big role in protecting our communities and ensuring that everyone is, I should say, supposed to be treated equally. That doesn't always happen. And it's kind of my crusade to take fairness and equal justice for all to the Superior Court. But at the end of the day, I do believe that the courts are there in order to better our society.
Well, elaborate on justice. Maybe I'll ask you this. What's injustice? Where might we have seen injustice? I know you can't do specific cases that are pending, but in the years ago, we may have seen injustice. Maybe we just saw it with that gerrymandering thing.
Well, I can speak about injustice from a very personal perspective. And I think it's important to know that there's this great academic concept of justice, and attorneys will use it, and litigants will use it, and the judges will use it. But I think until you actually experience a denial of justice, you truly don't know what it is. It's just academic. For me, it's personal. My father and my brother were victims of a double homicide by vehicle, and the woman who killed them had connections, and she was not going to be charged. And for the very first time in my life, having worked in the court system for years at that point, and having been an assistant district attorney before this incident occurred, I thought I knew the justice system and how it worked. And what I found was a very broken justice system. So I experienced, and my family experienced, a denial of justice. And that's really the reason I ran for district attorney. It's the reason I'm running for Superior Court. I want to ensure that that doesn't happen to anyone else. And I have the skills, the experience, the education, the motivation to ensure that there's fairness and equal justice for everyone in the court system.
Did that experience as DA give you some relief?
It did. Even before my father and my brother were killed, I had worked at the Columbia County District Attorney's Office. I loved that job. I really felt like I was helping a lot of people. I was very good at my job. I received a lot of thank yous from victims and litigants and law enforcement officers. I want to be able to give back to the community, and that was a great way to do it. So when the opportunity arose to run for district attorney, I really thought, in light of my experiences and the death of my father and brother, this was something that I should do. God leads us in certain ways, and I felt I was being led to the DA's office.
Rebecca Warren is with us. You're going to find her on the Republican ballot for the Pennsylvania Superior Court tomorrow. I want to say May 21st, as though it's some distant location, you know. All right, well, let's get, we're just about out of time, about 90 seconds left. Finish up your resume, where you're working now, this 27-year legal career, and maybe at the bottom of your resume, there's endorsements for people who run for judge. You have some, so start where you are now and go down to these endorsements.
Okay. I could just mention briefly, too, that I had my own law firm for 10 years in Danville. I had also worked as a partner in a Philadelphia law firm most recently, and I also represented President-elect Trump in the Jill Stein recount case through that law firm. Currently, I am corporate counsel for the largest private distributor of dental supplies in the United States, so I'm living back in the Northeast, as I said. And I do have quite a few endorsements. I'll name the bigger ones that I have. Pennsylvania State Troopers Association, the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, International Association of Firefighters Local 22, which are the paramedics and the firefighters, the Firearm Owners Against Crime, State Representative Kurt Mosser, and sundry other organizations and individuals.
And you didn't go through the Bar Association's gauntlet this time.
I did not. I elected not to. I had gone through that in 2015. I didn't find it to be a very fair or respectful process. I was asked questions such as, how do you expect to be a judge when you're the mother of two children? And I thought that at this point in our history, we've moved beyond that, but apparently we haven't. I look at who they endorse and who they don't. Our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Thomas Saylor, outstanding judge, he got to not recommend it. There are four or five sitting Superior Court judges who are fantastic judges, got not recommended. And then I look at people who got highly recommended, like Joan Ori Melvin, who was in jail, and other people who were removed. So I questioned the process, and I know that District Attorney John Morganelli had written a letter to the editors across the state in 2015 saying, look, the Bar Association represents less than 50% of the attorneys in Pennsylvania, and their process isn't fair. And I agree with him.
Okay, so put that Bar Association endorsement back where it becomes. It's just an asterisk in an election process if that endorsements are like something or other. You know, everybody's got one, right?
Right, and what I'm doing is taking my message to the voters, and I'm honored to have the endorsements that I do, such as the State Troopers and the Pro-Life Federation. Those mean a lot to me.
Where can I get more information about Rebecca Warren?
Facebook, Rebecca Warren for Superior Court, and my website, www.warren4judge.com.
Warren4judge.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in, Rebecca Warren.
Thank you, Mark.